Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8 o'clock, hour 2 here on the program. Thanks for tuning in. If you were with us in hour number 1, talked a lot of NBA playoff action. Knicks winning game 1 in their series with the Pacers last night. The Timberwolves go up 2-0 on the Denver Nuggets in their series out west. The other two series, one in each of the conferences, will begin tonight. It's hour 2 of the program. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you on this Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. We are in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Currently, 74 degrees, and it's raining. It's rained a lot here the last few days. We're looking at a high today of 84 degrees. There's a possibility tonight of a little hail. Could be severe weather. Could. Not an absolute. And then things will eventually clear out tomorrow. We'll see some sunshine tomorrow. We'll see a high in the mid-80s. But again, weather could be a little dicey today. Hour number 2, also on Tuesday, brings you Humdinger's Trivia.
That's right. Opportunity to win a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's over at Poplar and Massey is where you'll find them. You can also find them online. Humdingersrestaurant.com. You can go to the website to check out the entire menu. You can also check out their catering menus. Get information on catering. If you've got an event you need catered, boy, Humdinger's is a great, great choice for that. Of course, Tuesdays like today at Humdinger's, well, that is Taco Tuesday. Their chicken and fish tacos are just $2 each all day, every Tuesday. And those things are absolutely delicious. They're big old tacos, too. $2 for those is a heck of a price. If you're not having the tacos, of course, a lot of grilled fish options for you. The crispy fish and chips, the various chicken dishes, sandwiches, salads, all kinds of great appetizers. So many great things to choose from on that menu over at Humdinger's. Again, you can check out the entire menu at humdingersrestaurant.com. If you are the first to answer our trivia question correctly, well, then you'll get that $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. You can answer via text on our Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Text in at 901-360-8255. That's 901-360-8255. Text in those answers, and the first correct answer will get a $25 gift certificate. Humdinger's, if there is a tie, then Zach will be the tiebreaker for that. And here is today's question. On Friday night, last Friday, Donovan Mitchell of the Cleveland Cavaliers had his third career 50-point playoff game. There are three other players that are still alive in this year's playoffs who have scored 50 points in a playoff game. Not this season, in their career. Three players who are still alive in this year's playoffs, other than Donovan Mitchell, who have scored 50 in a playoff game. Name the three. 360-8255, 360-8255. The three players other than Donovan Mitchell who are still alive in this year's playoffs and have scored 50 in a playoff game in their career. Again, first correct answer, we'll get the $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
I understand ESPN, for their shows, need topics for conversation. I understand that. But Kendrick Perkins, who I actually enjoy, said this about LeBron James, which I completely disagree. And he was not the only one who talked about LeBron James yesterday. Charles Barkley was saying that he hopes he retires because he wants him to go out basically on top, even though it's not the team going out on top. But he had a great year. And Charles was poking fun at his career the way it ended. Kendrick Perkins wasn't doing that. Kendrick Perkins said, I wish LeBron James would retire. The more he continues to play the game of basketball, the more it's going to hurt his legacy and continue to hurt his GOAT status. How did this season hurt LeBron James? I don't understand. Is LeBron James, because the team doesn't win the NBA title, his legacy is hurt by that? Nobody expected the Lakers to win it. They went to the damn Western Conference Finals last year. Are you telling me that his legacy was hurt by the year he just had as a 39-year-old, soon to be a 40-year-old player next year? I think he's out of his mind. I think he's actually helping his legacy as far as GOAT status. I still think it's MJ, but there's a lot of people that say it's LeBron, and they have a right to say so and a great argument. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination did he hurt his legacy. I think it's just the opposite. What do you think?
I don't think it helped it. I don't necessarily think it hurts it that much. But I do think, in the end, all of the numbers are there for LeBron. Like, he can't do anything to make the numbers, just the pure numbers, any better. The people that will, one of the big things that people always argue about Jordan is the postseason success and the fact that, you know, once he got to the point of winning championships, he never lost.
Right.
So getting swept out of the first round of the playoffs, that will be a feather in the cap to some who will say Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. So I think it's just the fact that getting swept out of the first round of the playoffs, you know, having to go to the play-in to get in, then getting swept out, I don't think is a great thing for his legacy.
Yeah, but if we're looking at total number of championships, he's never going to be where MJ is. If that's what the deciding point is on whether or not a player is a GOAT, then he lost out several years ago because it wasn't going to happen just by sheer numbers and how many more years he has to play. So it's got to be beyond just how many championships. He's won championships.
But this is a far from a championship. They got swept in the first round. There's not even close to
all,
a championship.
So it's all on LeBron James? All his numbers, he did?
That's a part of the whole thing. Like, again, when you are getting swept out of the first round of the playoffs, that does not help your legacy.
He's 39 years old, for goodness sakes. How old was Michael in that last championship win?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Do people remember the Wizards? MJ with the Wizards? And I know he still put up big numbers. Okay? So he was not criticized for that. He was like a normal professional athlete that hit superstardom that lingered at the end of their career. You know, I talk about it all the time. The Johnny Unitases, the Joe Namaths, on and on and on. Guys that just hung around too long. Shaq. They all did. Because it's tough for them to leave the competitiveness of professional sports, the camaraderie of being around teammates, being in front of the fans, the thrill they get from that, the push they get from that. You don't get that at home. You don't get that going out there to the golf course. You get it from being in an arena with thousands of adoring fans. But, so I don't knock players for hanging around too long. But certainly, they're criticized. Steve Carlton's another one that comes to mind. It's like, what, you were pitching for the White Sox? Really, Minnesota? So that happens. And that's what happened with MJ. Even though his numbers
Jordan wasn't terrible. Like, Jordan was...
No, he wasn't, but
don't compare him to those guys. Like, those guys were terrible in those last years.
I'm just saying, LeBron James isn't terrible. That's my point.
But just like Michael Jordan's game in Washington didn't do anything to help his legacy, it probably hurt it.
No, it didn't.
It's the same thing with Jordan. Like, putting up numbers and doing nothing with it is not helping your legacy.
That's BS. It didn't hurt his legacy. People were looking at MJ going, wow, he still was able to put up numbers. Nobody expected Washington, just because Michael Jordan was there, to win the NBA title. Well, again, the Lakers went to the Western Conference Finals last year, for goodness sakes, at 38 going on 39. And LeBron did everything he could this year. Now, he's a pain in the tush. He gets coaches fired. There's a lot of things I don't like about the guy. But I'm not going to sit here and go, his legacy is hurt because he went out and had the year he had this year. No way, because the team got swept in the first round by the defending NBA champions. No, sorry. Can't buy that, Kendrick. I know it's a great talking point. Hell, we just talked about it for the last 5 minutes. So it's a conversation piece, but I'm not going to buy that. Did you happen?
Michael Jordan, by the way, is next to last year, 13th in the MVP voting.
I know. Well, where do you think LeBron will be this year?
Well, he'll be up there.
And how old was Michael?
But you're just comparing him to guys. You said he hung on too long. It is next to last year, he was 13th in the MVP voting. That's not hanging on too long.
No, I'm just saying at the end, when he was with the Wizards, it's not right. It doesn't look right. At the end, when Carlin's pitching and he's got a White Sox uniform on, it's just, it doesn't register in your brain as a fan of those guys at the end of their career that they play another season, they're with another team, they're not with the franchise you know them for. It's weird. It's not, I'm not saying they all sucked. What I'm saying is that it's just different. It's weird. It seems like they're just getting that extra paycheck. They're hanging on for another year to play. But I understand, even though I've never been in their shoes, that it must be tough to give it up. It must be tough to do what Barry Sanders did, retire early and leave all that behind. Not just the money, everything else that goes with it.
And let me correct myself. Yes, thank you, Texter. It was not a sweep. It was 4-1. The Nuggets swept.
Again.
Huge difference.
To me, it's a conversation piece that ESPN came up with because you got to come up with stuff. LeBron James, and again, I like him. I respect him. I respect him as a father, as a husband, as an entrepreneur, as a basketball player. I don't agree with everything he says. Sometimes he gets a little strange, but that's just my personal opinion. But everything else I look at and I go, you're going to really, this is what you're going to do? You're going to hammer that his legacy is hurt by going out and having the season that he just had? Then what's going to happen next year at 40? Because if he's staying with the Lakers, they ain't winning it unless it's a complete overhaul, which I don't see how it's possible. And Bronny James isn't coming in to lead him to an NBA title. So, yeah, I don't buy that argument, but I understand that that's a topic for conversation. Did you happen to watch any of the roast?
Watched the whole thing.
Did you watch the whole thing? I started watching it. I watched about 45 minutes and then I had to watch some other things that I had to catch up with, and I'm going to finish it off hopefully today or tomorrow. Your thoughts on the Brady roast?
It was good. It was good. It was what roasts are. It was, I thought that, Nikki Glaser was probably the highlight.
Nikki Glaser.
I thought Gronk was really good.
I didn't see Gronk.
Gronk is so weird.
Didn't you think Drew Bledsoe did a good job?
No.
You don't?
I thought Drew was, I did not. First of all, he kept his little weird tongue thing kept distracting me.
He's probably a little nervous. I mean, the guy's not a professional roaster.
I don't know who Tony Hinchcliffe is, but he was great.
Tony Hinchcliffe?
I have no idea who that dude is, but man, he is. He was brutal on some people, but that, hey, it's a roast. That's what it is.
Was he English?
And I know he got some criticism for the Kim Kardashian stuff.
Is he English, Tony Hinchcliffe?
He's American.
He's American? I never heard of the guy, ever. Is he like an alter ego of somebody? Is he like Tony Clifton?
He does
Brandy Kaufman?
Podcast. Like, he's a comedian. He does a podcast. But he was great. Again, it was like some of it, even like, I was like, oh, God, man, that's like, makes me cringe.
What,
but I was
what's
like,
the one that made you cringe the most? If you could say it.
You can't say. There's nothing that you could say. The ones that make me cringe aren't anything that can be said on this show.
Again, I only watched the first four presenters.
And then I thought Brady was great. Brady at the end was fantastic.
Kevin Hart is great.
I'm not a Kevin Hart guy.
I am. I like Kevin Hart a lot. He's funny. Because a lot of that stuff, he's reacting to the sets. But he gives the love and then he rips you. Gives the love and then he rips. But the Nikki Glaser one about Gronk. What was the one they were dying?
The one about the crypto money.
And they kept cutting to Gronk's face.
Halftime, Gronk doesn't even know they're making jokes about him. Like, he's like, I don't know. What did they just say?
Yeah, because sometimes they'll cut to him and he's laughing. And sometimes they cut to him and he's like befuddled. He doesn't even understand.
It's the same thing with Belichick. Belichick's up there, like, they say stuff, and he's like, you could just tell he had no idea what was just said. Like, he's like, I don't know. So I don't know if they couldn't hear real well up there or whatever. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good Good watch.
Three hours.
It went on for a little too long. There were probably a few guys they could have done without, but
okay, who can I cut out? Because I got to still watch 2.5 hours worth or 2 hours, a little bit over 2 hours I still have to watch. Who can I just cut out and just fast forward past?
Again, the first one I would have said would have been Drew Bledsoe.
Well, he was the first guy. So
I didn't think Belichick was that. And certainly Robert Kraft I could have completely done without.
Was Edelman good?
Yes, Edelman. I thought Edelman was good.
How about Randy Moss? I'm up to Randy Moss.
Moss wasn't.
So I can blow by Randy Moss?
I didn't
think
Moss was that great.
Okay.
The jokes about Randy Moss, I think, were more better than anything he actually said up there.
Right. How about any of the comedians? Ross was good. Ross is always good.
The comedians know what they're doing, so they're good at it.
Right.
Like, I didn't need to see, like, Kim Kardashian. No, I didn't need to see Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
either.
She spoke? Okay, yeah. I'll rip by her. How about the comedian Bert, who always takes his shirt off? What is it? Kreischer?
Yeah, and the other guy do a two-man deal. I'm not familiar with their work. It was okay.
It was all right?
There was some good stuff in it. There was some stuff that really I didn't think was that good in that, but it was fun to watch.
Who would you like to see? And I know this was a topic yesterday from the sports world. Doesn't have to be a player; could be a coach. Who would you like to see be roasted?
Well, the ultimate one, and it will never happen, would be Tiger. There's way too much material that he's just not going to want out there.
Yeah, Tiger. Wow. Oh my gosh, that would set records for viewership.
He would just never. Allow that to happen.
How about Nick Saban? I was thinking about him yesterday.
I don't know. I just don't know what material there is on him.
What athlete other than Tiger? Excuse me. Maybe in the future, Shohei Ohtani, although I hope he speaks better English. He speaks some and understands it because there's going to be a lot of gambling jokes coming his way.
I don't know.
Deion Sanders?
Deion could be good.
Could be good. Zach, anybody come to mind? Who would you like to see roasted? I would not be able to handle that. First of all, I wouldn't be able to say anything derogatory, even in joking about somebody. I'd have a tough time doing that. And I would sit there and I would want to fight every dude that said something.
That I know for sure.
I wouldn't be able to handle that. There's no way. Tom Brady's pretty good sport for being able to do that.
I would say either LeBron or Steph.
LeBron couldn't handle that. There's no way. There's no way LeBron James could handle it. No way. He would.
Jordan would be good.
Jordan would be great. Yeah, Steph. I don't even know what you say bad about Steph. I mean, can they find anything weird or bad or strange to say about him? I don't know. But LeBron would be the ultimate. I think Michael would be great. Don't see it with LeBron. One day for Michael, maybe. Maybe this opens the door for some of these other huge names in sports to want to be roasted. If they have that type of sense of humor, if they have thick skin.
A couple of people said Peyton and Eli. I think we probably will do it. I'm sure there will probably be a Peyton one for sure.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, Peyton seems like...
He's there doing it to Tom. I'm sure that at some point Peyton will be... on that list of, because I think I'm sure I don't know what this, what are the particulars were of how much money and all that stuff, but yeah, I would assume that they're going to do more of these, and I would guess that Peyton probably is high on that list.
I would lay
somebody
money.
Somebody says Mike Tyson, or that could be that could be an interesting one. Although you don't want to make him mad.
Wait, I think they
haven't
did
they done a
Mike
Tyson
Tyson
roast? Yeah, can you look that up? I thought they've done one, but as far as Peyton, I would lay money down that would happen. Peyton. Eli, separate, maybe together. Absolutely. That guy, both of them, and Eli was in Oxford last night, wasn't he, at an event? if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did. They had the Grove Collective out of
there. Yeah. I know Jackson Dart was up there on stage with Eli at the same time. I think those guys would let it roll right off their back. Like, it would not affect them whatsoever. I don't know. I don't know
the problem with Peyton would be the forehead jokes would probably get a little old, because that would be the one thing. Like, that would be the number one thing they would continue to go through with him.
Yeah, we would probably get, it would probably be stale for us as viewers, like, oh, not another forehead joke. But for him, I think he shrugs it off. I don't think anything bothers him. Nothing bothers that guy.
Another name to think about, Travis Kelce. I think he'll be really
down. Yeah, right now would be probably dangerous, but I think, yeah, down the road with Travis Kelce, yeah, I think absolutely. Especially if he ends up marrying, what's her name? Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift. Okay.
Yeah.
Never heard of her. Anyway, did Tyson have one?
No. So Tyson got roasted on the roast of Charlie Sheen.
Oh, okay. Winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyson would be a good one.
We do have, a correct answer. We have a winner.
Winning?
In our Humdinger's trivia question. And I'm telling you, some of you people did terrible in school. I know you did. You can't lie to me. You did terrible in school because you don't listen. You don't listen to the question before you answer it. The question was, first of all, other than Donovan Mitchell, which some people threw Donovan Mitchell in, what three players still alive in this year's playoffs have a 50-point game in their playoff career?
So Michael Jordan you can't use.
So LeBron James is not alive in this year's playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, not alive in this year's playoffs. James Harden's not alive in this year's playoffs.
They probably thought, were they in the playoffs? Meaning alive, the team made it to the playoffs. That's how they were probably thinking. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not. I just think they did terrible in school because they don't listen.
So what's the answer?
The correct answer, two of them have multiple 50-point games, and that would be Jason Tatum, who has two. And Jamal Murray, who has two. And then the third has just one 50-point game, and that would be Nikola Jokic. So it's Tatum, Murray, and Jokic are the three guys who are still alive other than Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell with the most because he got his third on Friday night. So we'll be contacting our winner. There were some with, I think, multiple with correct answer. However, there was one who beat all of the others with that correct answer. We'll be contacting you and letting you know how to collect your $25 gift certificate to Humdinger.
I mean, if you just logically think about it, you should have nailed that question. I mean, maybe you throw in like, did Kyrie Irving score 50 in one game?
Well, Kyrie and Luka. A lot of people said Luka, no, which I was pretty, I mean, I would. I knew a lot Luka of people didn't. Think Luka.
I knew Luka didn't. Now, I wasn't so sure about Kyrie, but that was my guess was Murray and Jokic, I knew for sure. And then the other one, I thought, I think it's Tatum. Unless Jaylen Brown had like some crazy 50-point game, I thought it was Tatum. The second hour of the program is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers. They are your family's jeweler, located at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com. Mother's Day is Sunday. Get something special for mom. You always got to think mom first. And at James Gaddis Jewelers, boy, do they have variety. They have something I guarantee a mom's going to love, from beautiful necklaces and bracelets and rings and watches. Head on over to James Gaddis Jewelers. Let them help you pick out a beautiful, special gift for mom, for Sunday, for Mother's Day. And, of course, for all you folks out there who are going to pop the question this year, for all you guys out there, when you're thinking about an engagement ring, think James Gaddis Jewelers. They are your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters. James is a master jeweler, a certified appraiser, a diamondologist, and he's graded by the Gemologist Institute of America. You are getting a guy who's been in the business a long, long time. They will steer you in the right direction. They're also full-service jewelers, so if you need a simple cleaning, a resetting of your ring, whatever the case may be, they have two bench jewelers ready to serve you. James Gaddis Jewelers, for Mother's Day, for any time. It's the right choice. James Gaddis Jewelers, your family's jeweler at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com. When we come back, the interim athletics director at the University of Memphis, Jeff Crane, will join us. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:30 the time, halfway home on this rainy morning. It's the Tuesday, May 7th, 2024 edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you, broadcasting live and in color from the Family Leisure Studios. And every Tuesday at this time, we get to talk to Jeff Crane.
It's time to talk Memphis Tigers athletics. Joining Greg and Eli is University of Memphis Deputy Athletics Director Jeff Crane. Here's Jeff with Greg and Eli.
Not only is Jeff the deputy AD, he is now the interim athletics director at the University of Memphis. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at jcrane75. He joins us every Tuesday. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys.
All right, so first of all, let's give a big shout-out. And I was talking about this in hour number one. There were 53 student-athletes that graduated from the University of Memphis over the weekend, 26 of them with honors. So not only are they're graduating with honors. That's about half, pretty much, that graduated with honors. That's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, we're so proud of our student-athlete success in the classroom. And last week, we had an awesome reception for our student-athletes and their families, and it was so fun to see. We literally had families from all over the world who came in for graduation this weekend and had an opportunity to meet their teammates and meet their coaches at a really nice reception that our staff put together. And, you know, I think in this day and age of college athletics, some of those sort of achievements in the classroom get lost in, mm-hmm. in the narrative that's out there. But at the end of the day, our student athletes are leaving here with a degree, which for us, that's always the plan A for us on the inside. While also trying to get them prepared for whatever life may be like on the field or on the court beyond college. But for the vast majority of them, that degree will carry them. And we're just thankful for the great support that our academic services and all those at the university that help make that a reality. And then the student-athletes themselves, I mean, the time, the energy, the prioritization that they have to go through with all the things on their plate to achieve graduation at such a high level for so many of them with honors is a sight to behold for sure.
Is the APR rating still a thing?
Yeah, it is. I think you know, you'll start to see that change and phase out over time. Potentially, there's some talk about that. You know, one of the things that we look at in particular is graduation success rate, which we're at over 90% now for about four different they call them cohorts, so 4-year periods. And you know, we focus on that graduation rate. There's so many factors that go into the APR these days. Transfers mm-hmm. Can have an impact on your APR rating. There's just things with the APR that frankly, have probably become outdated mm-hmm. in recent years, but we focus on that graduation success rate, and that's the part that we're most concerned with.
Yeah, cause I don't even like when a guy's like at his fourth school in 4 years. I don't even know what APR does with that or any of that type stuff.
Yeah, I think you have to have a degree from MIT to be able to manipulate the formula to understand it, but it's definitely complicated. But you know, at the end of the day, that degree is what we're seeking.
So since you were named the interim athletics director, you've made the rounds. We're going to have to check your contract to make sure that that was legal for you to do other interviews at other places. But either way, you did. And some interesting things that you had to say, which were certainly positive things, about a big major step forward in the donations and the funding that you're trying to get to match the $50 million from the Smith family, that another big chunk you were able to get from donors. So certainly you guys are making headway when it comes to trying to get that $50 million to match the $50
million. Yeah, no question. That has been one of our top priorities over the last, I would say, almost 5 months now, and continues to be a priority for us, so we can get construction underway and still have plans to do that in the coming weeks, to start on that east side. And when we reach the $25 million, and as you have seen, we're at the $20 million mark now, but when we reach that $25 million, we'll be in a position to start the demolition and rebuild of the west side, which is the substantial piece of the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium renovation. You know, our donor base and fan base has been so receptive to this opportunity, and you know, I think for many folks, this has been the opportunity they've been looking for a long time, and the opportunity to own the stadium and have this as an asset for the university for years to come is a reason to stand up and say, hey, I want to help and support it, and we're just very thankful for the many who have raised their hand and said, yes, I want to support this project.
We talked a little last week about the whole lawsuit situation and this possibility of the revenue sharing that was kind of just coming out at that time. Does that, like, from your perspective at the University of Memphis, does something like this, would that excite you or does it scare you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the evolution that is starting to come into focus just a bit. And I think we all recognize that there needs to be some sort of change and structure put around this, so we can frankly manage it better. So we can manage it better from an administrator perspective, from a coaching perspective, and frankly from a student athlete perspective, because it's so wide open right now that there's so much ambiguity to it that it's mm-hmm. it's just not working in its current state. But you know, I do think in time this will focus in even more clearly, and what the timeline is on that, who really knows? But and we're going to have to adjust how we do things too, as will everybody in college athletics. So you know what that looks like precisely, we're not quite sure, but it's something we're thinking about and have some great advisors both connected to the university and outside the university, they're helping us kind of start to think through what that evolution may look like for the University of Memphis.
And Jeff, I would think that neither side, whether it's the schools or the student athletes, want to go down the road of employer and employee, even though we're talking about revenue sharing and things of that nature. I would imagine that that's not the way you want to go, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there are some complexities to that relationship. If it were to become an employee-employer relationship, that I'm not sure that student athletes nor we would ultimately want or appreciate. I think that creates some unintended consequences, perhaps that mm-hmm. that none of us want to deal with. So, but I think we all do recognize that the opportunity for student athletes to earn more is important. And so, you know, what that looks like, we'll see. You know, I think the idea here is that we want to do right by our student athletes and put them in the best possible position to maximize their time here at the university.
With this, and again, nobody knows for sure what it's going to look like, but would the collectives still be around, like, on top of what this revenue sharing would be?
That's a great question. I think that the collectives were born out of necessity for a vehicle to give student athletes opportunity to earn revenue. So if a new opportunity or new vehicle comes into play, I think the collectives and the need for them probably is not nearly at the level that it is today. Frankly, I hope that's the case because I think ultimately, and most of the collectives you hear out there would agree that these sort of functions really need to live within the athletics department, mm-hmm. within the university, because we're in the best position to put controls around them, and we're in the best position to administer them, frankly. Most of these collectives are run by volunteers,
yeah.
and sustainability of the collective model is just not there. I'm actually surprised it's lasted as long as it has, because there's just so much to it, and many of these folks are just doing it because they love their program, and I do think the collectives will fade away.
Jeff Crane joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. What has changed for you, if anything, just being elevated to the interim AD from your regular responsibilities as deputy AD?
Yeah, you know, and I think I'd mentioned this last week. Laird's leadership style put myself and frankly many other people on our team in a position where we knew what was going on. He had a very open and transparent style, which allowed us to be involved in many projects. And so we've not, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, this is what I'm supposed to say, but I truly believe we haven't missed a beat in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we know what our priorities are. We're focused on those priorities, and we're going to get them done, and we're going to get them done as a team. We've built a really great team of people here in the athletics department who work really hard for this university and are very professional, and they've seen these sorts of things before. This is an unfortunate byproduct of our business, but we go about business as usual.
Mm-hmm. This is not a strange question I'm about to ask, but it's a little bit awkward because you are a candidate. But do you have any idea of kind of a time frame they're looking at to name a successor for Laird?
Yeah, no, that's not something that I'm involved in. Those are not conversations
sure.
I'm involved in. That's a president, Dr. Hargrave, and other leaders at the university who will ultimately determine that timeline, et cetera. And, you know, my focus will remain moving forward with our program. So whatever decision is made, we can hand it to whoever that person may be,
mm-hmm.
and just keep on moving.
Obviously, this time of year, the sports seasons are starting to wrap up. You've got the spring sports now starting to come to an end. Obviously, that'll kick off a busy time for you guys because of the stadium and all of that stuff. But at, you know, this time, right now, kind of things, the tennis, how did they do in the regional?
Yeah, our men's tennis team did make it to the NCAA regionals and defeated North Carolina in the first round, which we were really excited and proud of, and a heck of a match came down to tiebreaker. It was 6-6, and they won, I think, 8-6. So it came down to the last court and beat North Carolina, which is a great achievement. And then the next day, this was over the weekend, went on to play Tennessee, and we seem to have a streak here of having to go to Knoxville and play Tennessee on their home courts, and Tennessee did prevail there, but so proud of them. And, you know, having a new coach and Coach Chris Doerr, sometimes you have a new coach come in, you're not really sure if there will be a setback there to kind of build it back again. And he has not missed one bit. And that's 4 in a row NCAA tournaments and 10 out of the last 12 years for our men's tennis program. So such an awesome program that Coach Goebel built over time and others before him. And we're just rolling along in men's tennis.
Jeff, one final thing before we let you go. I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier as far as the renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. The first phase will get started here in the next couple of weeks. You don't have to wait on anything as far as that's concerned. Now, you mentioned you got 20 of the first 25, which will eventually be 50 that you have to raise to match the 50 from the Smith family. If you get 5 more to get to 25, you could start phase 2. Will they coincide? Will phase 1 and phase 2 go together, or you phase 1, then the season, then phase 2?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought it up because I was going to ask you guys if you had like $2.5 million a piece that you might
Zach's
throw into this thing.
Zach's got all five.
And we
could
just do it right now. We could make this a real big story right now.
I've got $2.50.
To answer your question, though, phase one and phase two are directly linked in many ways because the functionalities on the west side we're moving to the east side, which would be considered phase one. But our intention is as soon as we hit that $25 million, and our hope is that will happen, and our intention is that will happen this summer. We'll begin immediately the demolition of the west side. So they are linked together, but we feel confident that we'll be able to start right away as soon as the dollars are available.
There it is, folks. That's the plea to get out there and find those people with deep pockets and get them to help out as far as the University of Memphis is concerned and the renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. He's interim athletics director, Jeff Crane. You can follow him on Twitter at jcrane75 and catch him every Tuesday talking with us right here on Sports 56 Mornings. Jeff, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Go take Tigers,
care.
Go.
All right, take care now.
By $2.50, I will up to $10 if they could convince the person on that wrecking ball to get a little loose one day.
Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration, for all your roofing and home repair needs, call Brandon McCullough at 901-438-5084 or go online to newroofmemphis.com. They offer financing with different plans and options to choose from, including a 6, 12, or 18-month same-as-cash option. They'll work with your insurance company or out-of-pocket. Again, your insurance company can't tell you what company to use and whatever the situation may be, auto, home, whatever. If you want to go with Pinnacle, and I prefer that you do, then you can go ahead and do that through your insurance company. Pinnacle does residential and commercial roofing, so business owners and property managers, along with homeowners, if you have a leak or any other roofing problem, you call Brandon today. They'll come out and do a free roof inspection. They're licensed, bonded, and insured, and a member of the Better Business Bureau. You get a 5-year labor warranty on the purchase of a new roof. All their work is satisfaction guaranteed. That's work around the home, like carpentry work, exterior painting. They can replace gutters, put up fencing, siding, rotten wood repair. Brandon's a certified shingle installer, so obviously you're missing shingles. He can put them up for you. Quality work at a very reasonable price. Again, locally owned and operated. Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration. Give Brandon a call. Tell him you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, 901-438-5084. That's 901-438-5084. Online at newroofmemphis.com. Coming back to wrap up hour number two, this is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56. 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:50 the time. Tomorrow, three-time Super Bowl champion linebacker Darius Harris will join us out of Horn Lake. Got a big event coming up this weekend, a little camp for kids that N'Kobe Dean will also be involved in from the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk to Darius about that on the program tomorrow. So we just had the NFL draft a couple weeks ago, and quarterbacks went 1, 2, and 3, and 6 quarterbacks were taken in the first round. And the proof will be in the pudding. We won't know how good a class it is until these guys get out there and play. It's easy to guess and speculate what it will be, but nobody knows until they've actually gone out there and played. There is betting odds out for next year's NFL draft with all players, but especially quarterbacks. And Carson Beck, according to FanDuel, is now the new favorite to be the first overall pick next year at plus 300, with Shedeur Sanders next at plus 450. So the Georgia quarterback, the Colorado quarterback, and then Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is third. His odds at plus 14. Miami quarterback Cameron Ward is next at plus 1,700. And then Penn State quarterback Drew Allar is at plus 1,900. There are some other players that are not quarterbacks that are up there, including Travis Hunter from Colorado and some other ones like Mikel Williams, the Georgia defensive end. But I look at those quarterbacks, and I wonder just how good a class it's going to be next year. Again, the proof will be in the pudding when those guys are drafted and they eventually play for their respective teams. But at least this one with Caleb Williams and with what we saw from Daniels winning the Heisman Trophy, there was excitement. I don't know about this class of quarterbacks. Like, I'm not sold that Beck is going to be some great NFL quarterback. He's a very good college quarterback. I don't know if he's better than what Stetson Bennett was at Georgia. But what do you think?
I think Carson Beck, I think he will be the number one pick, and I think he will be, I mean, he's got everything you're looking for. He's big. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, I think he will have NFL teams falling all over themselves. I don't know why he wouldn't be a good NFL quarterback.
You think as much as they went gaga over Caleb Williams this year?
We'll see what kind of year he has. I mean, if he wins a Heisman Trophy this year, yeah.
And then the Drake May deal, where some people were saying that he was a once-in-a-generation quarterback. Obviously, the first two teams didn't feel that way. But what about Shedeur Sanders, who has a cannon for an arm, has the ability to leave the pocket and get positive yardage?
Yeah, we'll see what kind of year it is for him this year as well. I mean, he certainly had some great moments last year, but they weren't a great team. Can they get better? Does he get a little bit better? But yeah, I mean, obviously, just you look at the bloodlines, you know, there's obviously a lot of physical gifts there you would expect just from who his father is. Now, again, with him, what's Deion going to do as far as telling certain teams that he's not going to play for them? How does that affect his draft situation? All of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But I think certainly has the chance to become a good NFL quarterback.
I'll be interested to see what Quinn Ewers does this year as Texas moves into the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ewers a lot. I mean, I think, again, big arm. There's a whole lot to like there. A lot of this will be decided by the seasons that they have this year. If one of those guys, again, wins the Heisman Trophy, or, you know, if they're all have great years and are in the playoff, things like that. I mean, certainly there's going to be teams, we have to see which NFL teams are really desperate for a quarterback, you know, come next year.
Mm-hmm.
But there always is some. We always know there will be some teams that are going to be desperate for a quarterback. And so in all likelihood, these guys will be the guys that are end up being taken at the top of the draft, because teams will panic and do the same thing they do every other year. Freak out. We got to go get a quarterback up at the top of the draft.
Yeah, no question about it. We had Grizzlies news earlier in the show. We talked about the DeMichael Cole story at the CAA about Tony Allen, that it does appear this upcoming season he will have his jersey retired after what was going to happen 2 years ago, and then his legal issues. Also news about the Grizzlies, Adam Silver providing an update on Ja Morant. He said everything has been positive. He checks in with him regularly, and everything has been good. He has done everything that he was expected to do. And he was very disappointed that he got hurt, because he was excited when he was able to come back from the suspension, started to play at a high level again, and then get hurt. But Adam Silver says everything is good, and hopefully it continues to be that way.
Good for Ja. I didn't even know Adam Silver was still checking in on him, but I'm glad he is.
Well, I'm sure his peeps.
The supervised visits are nice. Grizzly Steve says, do you think Memphis's quarterback will get drafted next year? Certainly has a chance. Yeah, I mean, again, see how this year goes. If Memphis has a big year and say they go to the playoff or something like that, Well, certainly, and he's a huge part of that, which I assume he would be if they're going to go that far. Certainly think he would have an opportunity to possibly get drafted late.
For everything you just said, I think there's absolutely that possibility. He is coming off a great year. His numbers, he's going to shatter all the records at the University of Memphis. If this team does do what they're expected to do and he puts up the big numbers again, he's got big size. He's got a great arm. He's a very intelligent guy. He's a coach's son. He knows the game. I don't think there's any question that it could happen for him. I'm not sure exactly where. It's too early to really speculate on that. We're not going to have a Paxton Lynch situation. He's not going to be a first-round pick. But I think certainly he could be drafted and certainly could one day be playing on a team in the National Football League.
If you've got a move coming up, don't try and do it yourself. You want to make sure you get the professionals to help you with that move. And the best professionals out there to help you, well, that would be Black Tie Moving. Talk to the folks at Black Tie. They work with you, coming up with that plan for your move that best fits your needs and best fits your budget. That's, of course, very important on both fronts. And that's exactly what they'll do for you and with you at Black Tie Moving. All you got to do is give them a call, 901-316-6196, or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis and talk with them. They'll give you a no obligation quote up front so you know exactly what it's going to cost as well. Throughout the move, you've got a moving concierge available to answer any questions that come up, so you don't have to worry about anything. If you've got any questions, you are always able to get a hold of them. So if you're moving across town, moving across country, maybe it's your home, maybe it's your office, whatever it is, if you've got a move coming up, don't try and do it all yourself. Don't ask your friends. Get the professionals. Black Tie Moving, 901-316-6196 or blacktiemoving.com/Memphis.
When we come back, we open up hour number three with our weekly golf segment. We'll be joined in studio by Mickey Barker. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.